We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Another great Wisconsin weekend for sure. Full of events. Perfect weather, too. Absolutely perfect. Even though we may be transitioning a little bit from the outdoor event season, the fall is still full of to-dos, including all these extended farmers markets, makers markets, and more all across the state. And one local business, one that we've seen at a ton of area festivals and events, has big, big plans and a new owner. Pete's Pops. You ever had a Pete's Pop? Oh, really, really good product made right here in Milwaukee, but no longer owned by Pete. We'll have the full story later in the show. First, though, Dave Spano will join us to talk jobs, data, money in politics, and a whole lot more. We'll do that after the first break. But as we do each and every morning to start the upswing, especially on a beautiful Monday, let's go to Up.
Now it's time for the
2 Up
on the upswing.
Never too early to be thinking about the holiday season, and the city of Milwaukee still needs a tree. Indeed, the holidays aren't too far away. The city of Milwaukee's Department of Public Works is extending its search for the perfect tree to serve as the 2024 city Christmas tree. The City of Milwaukee tree, in partnership with the Bucks, has been displayed in Deer District, just outside Fiserv Forum, for the last couple years. DPW is accepting nominations, and interested residents and property owners are asked to check their yards for a tree to donate to this wonderful tradition. Eligible trees must be located in the City of Milwaukee. The ideal tree, just in case you're looking out at your yard or your neighbor's yard, must stand at least 30 feet tall, must be accessible for harvest with a crane, meaning no overhead wires present to interfere with the process. The tree candidates are judged on size, shape, uniformity, density, and color. Residents who wish to have their tree considered, really easy. Just call the City of Milwaukee, 414-286-CITY. They need their tree. They want to find out what tree it should be by Friday, October 11th. Speaking of trees, I did a little research over the weekend. Artificial trees, $5.99 you're looking at for the best, highly rated, highest rated tree on the market. $5.99, but it does kind of come all LED light lit already, so I don't know. I mean, if you're looking for, all right, I'm going artificial this year, you're probably looking at $400-$600. All right, next up, venture capital going Harris? Well, possibly. Venture capitalist Ben Horowitz over the weekend said he and his wife plan to make a significant donation to the presidential campaign of U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris, just 3 months after supporting Harris's rival, former President Donald Trump. In a memo to his staff at the firm Andreessen Horowitz, this according to Bloomberg News, Horowitz emphasized the personal nature of the donation, saying that he and his wife Felicia have known Harris for years, and she has been, quote, a great friend to both of us. Horowitz and his partner, Mark Andreessen, in July said they were backing Trump, shocking many in the technology world in Silicon Valley, which has traditionally leaned Democratic. The truth said that they preferred Trump's policies on issues such as crypto, and something the Biden administration hasn't really been open to. The donation is intended to support Harris and her campaign, but stopped short of endorsing her policies. Obviously, the jockeying around tech and policy will be intense this month, for sure. We saw Elon Musk with Trump over the weekend. But you got to think, you know, do investors and do consumers really care which companies or which VC firms endorse which candidates. I don't know, but you know what? We're going to ask Dave Spano, CEO of NX Wealth Management, that question when we come back from this break. I'm Jeff Sherman. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Always appreciate fans chiming in on the WTMJ talk and text line, 855-616-1620 from the 262. Indeed, the live stream is back up on YouTube. So thank you for pointing that out. We're back up live on YouTube. And if you have questions, input, and you want to participate in the 2024 WTMJ Fall Fan Survey, it's really easy. It's fun. It takes less than 10 minutes. We want your feedback. Really easy. All you got to do is text the word survey to 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. The link will be texted back to you. You take some time, you fill it out, and you'll be entered to win a package that includes two Milwaukee Bucks tickets to the upcoming regular season and an overnight stay at the beautiful Pfister Hotel right here in downtown Milwaukee. All right, Dave Spano, CEO of NX Wealth Management, as we do each and every Monday, joins us to kick off the week, preview the week ahead. Dave, how was your weekend?
It was excellent, thank you. Saw the fall colors, was glad to enjoy the state of Wisconsin.
Very good, us too. It was actually my mom's birthday and my son's birthday, so we got to celebrate two birthdays.
Awesome. Right.
Yeah. So, as I just said before break, we saw that tech VC Ben Horowitz kind of flipped a little bit, saying that him and his wife are going to make a donation to Kamala Harris, where they supported Trump maybe, you know, before, while Biden was still in the race. What are your thoughts? You know, what do tech political donations mean to investors? I mean, obviously, we saw Elon Musk with former President Trump this weekend. Harris is talking more about tech and even crypto. Is this just all politics?
Yes, of course it's politics, yeah. But, you know, most people probably don't even know who Ben Horowitz is, but he and a guy named Mark Andreessen, they had a famous private equity firm.
Yeah.
And Horowitz was against all of the Biden administration's regulatory approach. He thought it was, you know, too onerous. And so if you look at it, and you see this flip, and you look a little deeper, we find out that Horowitz's wife and Kamala are like besties. So there's a personal relationship there's for sure. But as you said, you know, Musk is on the other side. And so you look at these two things and say, you know, why is that? Especially when you think about California and tech companies. Of course, there's economic issues. There's regulatory issues that affect these companies. But there's also, you have to think about California, which is obviously a liberal stronghold. So the geography is there, and there's probably social issues that they align with. So when you look at that stuff, I would say, you know, you're not going to not buy a Tesla because Musk is hanging out with Trump. But one of those things that you look at is how are they aligned? And I think, you know, if you think about music for a second, my conservative friends, right, you know, they see Pearl Jam or Bruce Springsteen or any of these other folks who obviously are not conservative, but they still go to the show. They still buy a ticket. They still enjoy the show, so for most part. So we look at a lot of the stuff, and I think it's just a shrug of the shoulders.
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting to pay attention to, but at the same time, you got to realize, hey, we are in October, and you kind of shrug your shoulders, and you move on. So how do you interpret last week's job data? Does it take a little pressure off the Fed, maybe?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of eye-popping if you think about it. I mean, that the job report was really, really good. You know, of course, a lot of folks are saying that, you know, we're probably going to get some type of revision after the election. So we'll have to see if it really stands up. But it was a really good report on the surface. Wall Street Journal liked the numbers that they saw. And so, you know, if it's true what they adjusted it to, we think it'll be fine. But what does that really do? We saw the 10-year Treasury start to creep up. In fact, looking over at it right now, it's above 4%, and that is interesting. So the 10-year Treasury is going up. What does that mean? People are trying to buy Treasuries, right? Mm-hmm. That's an issue. And at the same time, the Fed is lowering rates, so that gap between the 10-year Treasury and the Fed are starting to close up. And so that will be interesting, Jeff, what happens, you know, with the next rate cut, which will also be after the election. So as you pointed out, a lot of politics. Both sides are saying whatever it takes.
Yeah, very good. All right, when we come back later in the show, I have a new business owner that, you know, spent some time kind of taking his time to find the right business for him and his wife to get into. The Bloomberg over the weekend I saw kind of made a call to say, all right, is it time to increase the amount that we can take out of our 401ks for maybe paying down debt, maybe making investments, maybe emergencies? I want to get Dave Spano's take on our 401ks. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, Monday Market Preview with Dave Spano, CEO at Annex Wealth Management. So, Dave, I saw on Bloomberg one of the columnists called for an increase in the limit that you can take out of your 401k in case of emergency or maybe to pay down credit card debt or whatever. Can you just give us an overview again of the rules and what do you think about increasing the withdrawal limit?
It used to be glass on the fire alarms, and it used to, on the glass it says break the glass only in the case of an emergency, right? So if you're walking down the avenue, I think they probably have one of those just poles. But
yes,
but you really shouldn't do that. That should really be one of your last resorts. So the conversation I saw that too. Bloomberg calling for a $3,500 limit, and you know Congress has talked about that, and the scenarios around that would be, when would it be effective, and how can you use it? Should you take it for personal emergency expenses like medical expenses or emergency home repairs? And in fact, unfortunately, in this country, about half of Americans don't have that $1,000 for an emergency. But, you know, if you don't put it back, Jeff, you're going to have to take it as taxable income. You're going to have to be subject to 10% early withdrawal.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go talk to your employer about it. I know the 401k that you have at,
right,
at Good Karma is phenomenal, run by a great dude. But if you think about what you can do, and, you know, there's probably better options.
Right.
You know, consider debt consolidation, negotiating with creditors, creating a plan with a financial professional, all of them better than using your 401k as a piggy bank.
Yeah, very good. All right, so how do you counsel small business owners that you work with? It can be a tricky path sometimes to evaluate opportunities, you know, kind of going off on your own or exploring buying a small business.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of that is happening, Jeff, and you have a lot of really great business owners on your show all the time, and so I find that really interesting. But you know, one of the things that you're starting to see is a lot of side hustles.
Yeah.
And so people who will have a job and they go, well, I'm going to do a little whatever it's going to be. You know, anything from, you know, being an Uber driver to starting a new business. Well, there are things that you need to do. And, you know, should you form a limited liability company? Should you put together some budgeting? And so that's for the startup stuff. But for our existing clients, a lot of them, there's a gap between knowledge and actual, you know, what they're actually doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we say, listen, there's tax planning that you should do. There's budgeting. There's financial metrics, you know, metrics that you should use.
Right.
There's cash flow management. All of that stuff, Jeff, is right in there. And things that we should tell our clients, you know, setting up a retirement plan, back to your previous question. All of these things are really important. We talk to our clients a lot about that, how you should invest your money. Reducing taxes and investing for the long term is really a healthy opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and often, you know, whether it's a side hustle or it's something you're going to go purchase on your own, you need that initial financing. So you got to be really cognizant of where you secure that from, and, you know, are you willing to go into personal debt to kind of pursue your dream?
And a lot of times, Jeff, it comes from family and friends, or you know, or taking a second mortgage against your house, and all of these things, you know, that people have taken that risk. And why did they do that? I mean, there's a lot of risk to try, and sleepless nights and stress and employee issues that go into this. So, you know, a lot of people say, if I'm going to trade in my paycheck for the risk, the wealth creation, there's also possibility of wealth destruction. So go into it with your eyes wide open.
Yeah. Okay. What else is on the weekly numbers release this week? You know, I love the lingo. I see core PPI on Friday.
Right. Yeah, PPI, right? So producer's price index. And that's part of it. But, you know, really what's happening in a big story is going to be the earnings reports. You know, the third quarter earnings reports come out. Like the report cards are out this week, and they start tomorrow with PepsiCo, and then end the week with the big banks. So earnings season is starting. Interest rates are supposed to be headed lower. We think they are. We're going into an election season. There's a bunch of wild cards, as you well know. You know, geopolitical risk. We know how is Israel going to respond to Iran, and you know, how does the earnings report actually come out? Of course, the election is a huge, huge issue. And Milton is headed towards Florida and seems really pissed off. So a lot of economic news is coming out this week. So go through it, folks. Know what you own, why you own it, how much you're paying for it. You can help. We can help.
Very good. Dave Spano, CEO at Annex Wealth Management. Dave, enjoy your week. Always appreciate your time.
Thank you, my friend.
All right. Thank you. Coming up next, Pete's Pops sells more than 100 flavors of frozen treats at its flagship location right on Vliet Street, just outside of downtown Milwaukee. A really well-known brand. But as Dave just said, a startup brand, kind of been in the market now for 9-10 years. But a new owner has just come in, found a way to finance and purchase the business, and has a lot of new plans, not only extending its visibility across the area, but possibly exploring some retail opportunities too. That comes with a lot of strategy, a lot of input. So it's going to be fascinating to hear a little bit about the world of the business of popsicles. We'll do that when we come back.
Time for a quick look at your coffee and how much it costs. It's the Upswing's Coffee Index.
Welcome back to the Upswing. It's Monday. You're probably on your second cup of coffee by now. Where did we stop this morning? Let's see, producer Jaslyn. I had to stop at the bank. It was our son's birthday. He had some cash. I made the deposit for him. And then right next door is the Stone Creek Coffee on Oakland. I got a 12-ounce, $2.75. Of course, he had that 6.4% sales tax added, so $2.93. But I got the darker roast. It was great. A really good way to start the day. How about you? You're finding all these new locations, and you kind of...
Oh, I didn't find a new location this time.
All right.
I didn't have the time of luxury, so I went back to the BizStarts Community Market on Pittsburgh and First.
Okay.
And because I was so tempted... I mean, okay, I gave in to two temptations.
All right.
The Cafe Cola... So, coffee and Coke, which Coke actually made something. I don't know if they still sell it anymore.
Okay.
But that cost me $7. Ooh. And it's those frou-frou drinks. I want to give more of them a shot because it adds a little more variety, but it's a little kind of makes an impact.
You're breaking the budget a little bit. I'm going to have to buy your coffee.
You think I'm breaking the budget now? I also spent $15 on one of those stuffed bees that I saw last time. Like, I need this.
Well, that's what it's all about, though. Community and commerce. You're driving it. You're moving
exactly.
It forward.
I want to support local artists. So
all right.
There you go.
Very good. Let's see. Let's bring on our guest, Ian Robinson. Ian is the new owner of Pete's Pops. Ian, did you buy coffee anywhere this morning?
No. Try and make our coffee and tea at home whenever I can. Save a couple bucks.
All right. That's good. Spoken like a true entrepreneur and business owner. So let me just kind of tee up the topic here. Pete's Pops sells more than 100 flavors, just amazing flavors, really unique variety. Obviously, these wonderful frozen treats. They're made right here just outside of downtown Milwaukee on Vliet Street. You have stores in Whitefish Bay location.
West Dallas
and
Bayview,
right? And you're at events and festivals all across the area. Started by an entrepreneur, Pete Cooney, who was a founder, owned it for a long, long time. He was looking for a transition, maybe to move on to some additional things in his life. You were thinking, all right, I need a new business. Why popsicles?
Why popsicles? That's a question that took many late night conversations with my wife and with our family. But first of all, thank you so much for having me on.
Of course.
It's a pleasure to be here. Why popsicles? Yeah, I think there's a lot of reasons for it, definitely. But, and definitely ones that my family members wanted to get a detailed answer on, yeah. So I made sure I didn't completely lose my mind when I told them I wanted to buy a popsicle company. But some of them are great right away when you tell them that. They're incredibly encouraging. They're the spark of motivation to have me go out and do it. But some needed some more convincing. So I think the biggest reason specifically for this brand and pops in general is just it embodies positive energy, and that's what I needed in my life as much as I could at home and at work. So it's hard even on a bad day to hold a popsicle and have a frown. So that's what I found all summer long. I've never worked harder in my life at anything, but it was just such a pleasure to work with all the customers this summer, and so much positive feedback from people. Everyone's calling to schedule events, or they're seeing you at a cart at a farmer's market, and they're just happy, and they're excited to either give their kid a pop or plan an event, a birthday party, whatever it might be. Yeah. And it's just energy and excitement. And I do think another part of it is I think there's a lot of memory tied to food when you're a little kid, especially. I have a vivid memory of when I was young. I don't even know how old. And my dad taking my brother and I probably go an errand to the hardware store or something. And he just pulled into the mini golf course out of nowhere. And then after that, we walked across and got an ice cream. You know, he has no memory of this, but I remember it vividly. Yeah. And I think that I like the idea of being able to you know, have people walk up to a window or a cart and have kids have that same memory-driven experience that they'll remember when they're 36.
So. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, popsicles, ice cream, it has that type of emotional attachment, for sure. So what opportunity did you see for growth? You know, analyzing the company as you kind of went through the process, what opportunity there that did you see that, like, all right, this is the business I need?
Sure. I definitely think, I mean, this brand, we talked, you know, we weren't able, while we were going through the process of deal making, we weren't able to talk too openly about it, but the people we did, you know, bring up the brand to, everybody knew it. Every single person, you'd see their face light up. They knew Pete's Pops. They had a favorite flavor, and it was just a Milwaukee staple at that point. And once we did just a little bit of research, we saw how incredibly valuable the brand was to Milwaukee, and we thought, okay, well, my wife and I have a background working for a franchise and growing that business.
Okay.
Can we apply some of those same things, that experience, some of the things we learned, and start to branch out, take it a little bit further, maybe go to Madison, down towards the Kenosha area where we live, just to take some baby steps and see, since we're already in those markets, can we open up some new pop windows? Can we do more events? It seemed like a brand that, and that's a lot of what we talked about with Pete in the process of, you know, him vetting us and us deciding if it was the right move, was he was looking for people to honor the brand and keep the foundations in place, but then take it to a new level. So we felt
I want to talk a little bit about that when we come back. You know, you have a really unique storefront in Whitefish Bay on Silver Spring at the old Fox Bay Theater, selling popsicles out of this kind of theater box office. How's that location doing? And do you see more of those in the future? And then do you have a path to getting into stores? Obviously, that's a different business, but I want to talk to you about those plans when we come back. This is The Upswing. The new owner of Pete's Pops, Ian Robinson, joins us. It's back. The Sidex Creepiest Bathroom Contest. Is your shower and or tub space looking like something straight out of a horror movie? Well, here's your chance to get a full makeover valued up to $10,000. All you need to do, take a picture of your shower and the tub space, and then text the word creepy to the WTMJ talk and text line, 855-616-1620. Submit your picture, and you could win a full conversion from our friends at Sidex. It's the Sidex Creepiest Bathroom Contest. For contest rules, visit our website at WTMJ.com. And maybe your bathroom isn't all that creepy and old. Who knows? Maybe it's kind of in between. I don't know, but that's okay. You still might be in a market for a new tub, new shower, or conversion. So send that picture anyway and have some creepy fun with it, for sure. All right, back to popsicles. The business of popsicles, I love it. So Ian Robinson is the new owner of Pete's Pops. So price per popsicle, you're looking at what? What are you charging at the stores?
If you buy it at a store, it'll be $4 a pop. We did start to introduce some more fun specialty flavors that took a little bit more effort to make, and we bumped up those for specialty price of $5, but we try and keep that as low as we can.
All right. So you're selling out of 4 locations right now, and obviously that, and then you have events, you have catering per se. I'm guessing one of the plans is, hey, can we do this on a retail level, maybe local, maybe scale it regionally, maybe nationally? Is that something that you're analyzing?
Definitely something to think about down the road. I think right now what we've found a lot of success is with partners that put our branded freezers in. So nature centers that do kids camps during the summer are very successful. We had an agreement with Betty Brin Children's Museum to put a freezer there. So we like that level because it keeps it special and keeps it local. If we get to a point nationally, we want to focus on that as a potential outlet for us. We would approach that. But I think right now, I like the idea of not being in the big stores and keeping that smaller feel, specialty feel.
Yeah, because you walk down, it's kind of like the frozen pizza aisle. Like there's just frozen pizzas forever, and same with the frozen treats, right? You have the big national brands. You got Johnny Pops. That's positions as a smaller brand, but just as a huge brand. Yes. You have Good Pops, and obviously Unilever owns the Popsicle brand. So if you get onto that space, well, like, what would be your strategy to kind of compete in that arena?
It would be tough. I worry because we have such high quality products. I worry most about having to water down the products to meet a price point for a grocery store. So I think that's a problem I haven't really thought too much about. I think a lot of the value we offer in our products, the Pops, are very unique flavors, and they're local or regional. So I like keeping it that way for right now and keeping that excitement over them so that when you see it at a cart, it's not like, oh, I saw it at a grocery store and at this farmer's market. It's only there. So I think when it comes to competition, that'd be a totally different business model that we haven't really put together quite yet.
Yeah.
Also not our main focus.
Yeah. Okay. And you make all the popsicles right here on Village Street. What's that team there, and how many people are in that process?
Oh, it's in the dead of summer. It is a hopping place in there. Yeah. So we ended up with around 78 total employees in the middle of summer.
Okay.
So you walk into the production facility and we're bursting at the seams there, but it's packed. I mean, we're running people. Yeah. They're making the popsicle, the base. That will then get molded into the Pops, and then we have a big wrapping machine that wraps them all up so we can box them. So you got people in every single room working. But then once schools go back in session, all the college employees are back there, and it feels lonely, but we're still clipping along as much as we can.
All right. Very good. So I love when I finish a Pete's Pop, you see the mini popsicle brands do this on the stick. There's a message.
Yes.
On Pete's Pops, it's always keep pushing. Like just onward, upward, on the upswing, right?
Yes.
Always. And that's it's motivational.
Yes, I think so too. I think it started keep pushing. We're pushing the carts around. That's where the brand started. But now I think it's just, keep pushing through whatever you got. The struggles, I live that every day. I mean, there's always business struggles. We just keep pushing, and it's going to work out in the end. So I like that tagline, and we'll definitely keep it.
Very good. Ian Robinson is the new owner of Pete's Pops. Quickly, Ian, about 10 seconds. What's a new flavor that you really, really just need to do?
we're playing around with a lot of flavors. I'd love to see the Summerfest fruit punch get out there a little bit more. We made a special one for that, and I love that flavor. It's not like the kids' fruit punch. It's more of a adult flavor profile. So I'd love to see that pushed out more.
Very good. All right. Keep pushing. Congratulations on the business purchase.
Thank you.
Coming up after the break, Wisconsin billionaire list. Who made it? This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Have you seen the show Billions on Showtime? I think it ended a couple years ago, but it's a great show. Ultimately, it's a show about business and relationships and power. It's a little wacky at times, but I really enjoyed it, and I even learned a lot watching it, the strategy, the conversations, the connections. And I always wonder, what would it feel like to be a real billionaire living in the state of Wisconsin? The new billionaires list and Forbes list has more billionaires on it than ever, and has a whopping, actually, 2,781 billionaires on the new Forbes list, 141 more than last year, 26 more than 2021. The top three, And maybe number two is going to be kind of quickly coming up to number one. I don't know. But let's look at number three in Wisconsin. Judy Faulkner, age 81, of Epic Systems in Verona, the third richest person in Wisconsin with a wealth of almost $7.7 billion. Diane Hendricks, 77, with a wealth estimated at $20.6 billion. And still number one on the billionaire list via Forbes in Wisconsin, John Menard Jr., 84 years old with an estimated wealth of $25.2 billion. I know one thing for sure. Billions can buy a lot of stuff. So to close out, let's do try, take, buy.
Time for Jeff Sherman's Try, Take, Buy on the Upswing. Do it.
Try. All right, my try for the week, and you have to do this. Notebook LM, new from Google. This is a product director from Google Labs. I saw this quote over the weekend. A lot of feedback we get at Google from users and businesses for AI products is basically, that's really cool, but is it useful? And is it easy to use? This Notebook LM truly is cool, but also very useful and easy to use. All you got to do is drag a file, drop it into a link, put whatever information you have, a free tool called Notebook LM, and then it takes all that information and makes it into an entertaining, accessible conversation like a podcast. Super cool, really relevant. Take a little example. I had some blood work done last week. I downloaded my blood work into this platform, and it gave me a conversational analysis of what I need to do to continue to get healthier. Notebook LM, try. My take? The economy is pretty good right now. That's my take. Always my take if you need to continue to look at kind of the pontification of both candidates. The economy, when you slice it, we're doing pretty well. The jobs report kind of cements the view that the economy is about as good as it gets right now. The economy is creating a lot of jobs across many industries, consistent with a robust labor force. So we're going to hear a lot of this and that in October. But when you slice it, we're doing pretty well. My buy, pick a local performing arts group to support this fall. Attend a show this fall or winter, and then consider a donation. UPath.org has all the events listed. It's a really great organization to support. The arts drive business. They need our support. A lot of new shows out right now. Really easy, really simple to buy a ticket. Support the arts no matter where you are in your community, even if it's just a high school drama production. They all need our support. It's creativity, it's driving business, and it's driving connections.